Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear about the Black Women's Voting Guide. It was recently released by the group Soul to Soul Sisters in conjunction with New Era Colorado. Then, last night, Denver City Council rejected a multi-million dollar contract with Allied Universal. The vote came just hours after Allied and RTD settled a lawsuit with a Denver man who was left with permanent brain damage after he was beaten by an Allied security guard at Union Station. We'll revisit an interview from July with an advocate for that victim of the assault. Then we'll hear from you, the listener, on the comment line before we go back to the BBC for headlines. After that, it's time for How on Earth. And in this week's science show, we'll hear about holistic dentistry, which looks at the relationship between the health of the body and that of the mouth. At 9 o'clock, it is the wit and wisdom of Alan Watts rounding out this morning's news and public affairs. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. The Denver City Council voted on Monday night not to proceed on a multi-million dollar contract with Allied Universal, the country's largest private security company. The company was the target of a lawsuit brought by a Denver man who was left with permanent brain damage after one of Allied's security guards beat him at Union Station in 2018. The Allied guard was under contract with RTD to provide security at Union. Hours before last night's vote, Allied Universal and the Regional Transportation District settled the lawsuit that had been filed in April by Rivero Stinnett. The Denver Post reports that the proposed contract between Allied Universal and the City of Denver would have shifted the bulk of the security detail for city properties to the company. Seven council members voted against the contract and many cited the case of Rivero Stinnett. City Council member Jamie Torres released a statement after the vote saying that City Council had made a commitment to recognise racism as a public health crisis and contracting with a security firm that is not demonstrated a real understanding of community healing and proactive change would be a step backward in the city's efforts to address historical inequities. Boulder County may be facing stricter measures to curb increasing rates of the coronavirus. In a press release issued yesterday, Boulder County Public Health reported that due to an increase in cases, the county may need to move to a safer at home level 3 on the state dial. That would mean the number of people who can be at a business, restaurant or workplace would be restricted. It would also see decreases in gathering sizes for events and fitness activities. As of Monday, new cases of COVID-19 among Boulder County residents in the past 2 weeks were 174.5 per 100,000 people. That's an increase from 135 from last Thursday. In a statement yesterday, Jeff Zayak, the executive director of Boulder County Public Health, said, "It's no surprise that more Boulder County residents are testing positive for COVID-19 since we're seeing statewide and national surges." But he said that, unfortunately, this is pushing the county toward the possibility of needing to restrict how many people can be in shared areas. A CU Boulder fraternity was sanctioned yesterday due to COVID-19 public health violations. This follows a pattern of fraternities and sororities being sanctioned by the university. The Daily Camera reports that Sigma Alpha Epsilon was the fraternity order that violated public health orders and is now subject to sanctions. The City of Denver is also warning residents that they could face another stay-at-home order if the uptick in COVID-19 cases in the city is not brought under control. Last week, a model of COVID-19 hospitalizations across the state projected that Colorado would keep admissions to intensive care units just below the number of available beds if current trends continued. However, if the situation worsened, the models showed that there could be more intensive care patients in Colorado than available beds by January. The Denver Post reports that the Colorado School of Public Health has estimated about one in every 292 people in the state is currently contagious, and that's approaching levels seen during the virus's first wave in April. Cold temperatures around the Front Range again today. Expect temperatures today to climb into the low 40s under sunny skies. Tomorrow, slightly warmer, highs in the mid 40s with sunny skies through the rest of the week and warming temperatures. By Thursday, we'll get to the mid 50s and even getting close to 60 degrees by Saturday. It is 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. On Friday, October 16th, the group Soul to Soul Sisters, in partnership with New Era Colorado, launched and released the Black Woman's Voting Guide and a billboard campaign. It's part of their Let My People Vote campaign. KGNU's Miriam Schiff spoke with Emily Shansadine, who's with the Let My People Vote Community Coordination Group, and Niankar Ajua, who is a communications manager for Soul to Soul Sisters.
So Black women have proven to be one of the most reliable voting blocks. However, our issues and our needs have never been centered. And so by producing the Black Women's Voter Guide, as well as centering Black women in this campaign, that is a part of what our goal is to center us in the conversation about voting.
How are you contacting these women? How are you making this program known to the community?
So numerous ways. We have kind of a traditional voter registration and get out the vote efforts going on. We also have a very strong social media presence. Soul to Soul over the last 5 years has built an incredible community of Black women who utilize numerous programs that they offer. And so via voter registration, get out the vote services, self-love Saturdays for Black women, the Black Women's Voter Guide, all of our social media, the billboard, for example, those are all of the numerous ways that we are trying to reach directly into our community.
Niankar, share with us a little bit about what is in the Black Women's Voter Guide.
The Black Women's Voter Guide approaches candidates and issues on the 2020 Colorado ballot from explicit Black women-centered perspective. We are a nonprofit, a 501c. All of our work is nonpartisan, so we will never tell any of the people in our communities who to vote for, but rather equipping them with the tools and knowledge to feel confident when they are going to vote. The Black Women's Voter Guide covers different initiatives and measures such as Proposition 115 and Proposition 118, and it breaks down different seats. So it talks about like what the president does, what the senator does, what judges do, and why it's important to vote for them.
How are you getting the guide to the women? Is it community activated where you are having people go out into the community?
So the Black Women Voter Guide exists on our website, soul2soulsisters.org. So we have an electronic version, and we are mailed out, so to say, pamphlet to folks in our community. And we also have a second round of Black Women Voter Guides that are going to be printed that are going to be specifically sent out to students on campuses across Colorado. So Colorado State University in Fort Collins, CU Boulder, Metro, University of Denver, all the colleges.
So this voter guide, unfortunately, is not bilingual. However, there are numerous organizations that also have ballot guides that do have a bilingual component that folks can check out.
What percentage of the community is it reaching? Or are you just blanketing the whole community, whether they voted or not?
The program itself is targeting specifically low and medium propensity to vote voters. So we do want to make sure that the folks that in our communities that are maybe less likely to vote are also being centered and targeted with the work as well.
About the programs that you have, and women learning how to take care of themselves, where they can empower themselves. Is that what the organization does? Niankar.
That is part of the work that we do, is definitely centering Black women's healing, health, and joy. And also, we are a racial justice organization. So all of the work that we do focuses on Black healing and Black liberation as a whole. And Black women's healing, health, and joy is only one aspect of our programming. We also have our voter engagement work, Let My People Vote, and we do work around ending anti-Black racism. So we have a Facing Racism cohort for mostly white people. People of color are invited to take the course, but it mostly brings white people to it. And then we also do work around reparations.
How would people, Nyankor, how would people get in touch with Soul to Soul Sisters?
So you can get in touch with Soul to Soul Sisters by definitely following us on social media. So you can like and follow our Facebook page, which is Soul to Soul Sisters. We also have a Let My People Vote page on Facebook. And you can follow us on Instagram at Soul to Soul Sisters and visit our website and check out all the beautiful Black work that we're doing, www.soultosoulsisters.org. And if you have any questions specifically around Let My People Vote, you can email the Let My People Vote coordinators at lmpv@soultosoulsisters.org.
Emily, I know you put up a billboard. Can you tell us where it is and what kind of input have you gotten from putting up the billboard?
The billboard is on Parker and Iliff. We have some more specific instructions on how you might be able to find the billboard on our Facebook page. Very excited about it and have received really tremendous excitement and energy from the community about it as well. Because again, most of the time we don't get to see ourselves in this work. So to have a big, bold Black billboard up around the Let My People Vote campaign is really an incredible moment for us and I think for the community as well.
How can our community assist you supporting your organization?
We say to become a sustained donor. So visiting our website, going to soultosoulsisters.org again and becoming a sustained donor, because again, we are a nonprofit organization and all of our work is sustained through the donations in which we are given by donors and also by our community. And just lifting up the work, sharing all that we do far and wide, subscribing to our mailing list so you can receive communications from us, so you can receive our newsletter and be in touch with the work that we're doing in community.
They can do donations on your website?
Absolutely.
Emily, how can the community support not only Soul to Soul Sisters and their role in the community, but also Let My People Vote? That's a definite year-long. It's not just going to be from now until November the 4th. So there's an education process and everything else. How can our listeners support that as well?
Absolutely. So I think first thing is to share the Black Women's Voter Guide far and wide. If you can share it with your family, with your community, that is one way. You can also pledge to vote with us on the Let My People Vote website. Those are the two most immediate things. You can also donate specifically to the Let My People Vote campaign. To your point, we are obviously working really hard to get to next week. However, Soul to Soul Sisters is really committed to what long-term advocacy and voter engagement is going to look like. So there's definitely more to come from us.
I want to thank you both for joining me today.
And that was Emily Shamsuddin with Let My People Vote and Nyankor Adjoa, who is the communications manager for Soul to Soul Sisters, speaking there with KGNU's Miriam Schiff. You can find out more about the Black Women's Voting Guide at the website soultosoulsisters.org. That's soul, the number two, soulsisters.org. Well, as we heard in headlines, Allied Universal, a private security company, along with the Regional Transportation District, RTD, yesterday settled a lawsuit with Rivero Stinnett, who was left with a permanent brain injury after one of Allied's security guards who'd been contracted by RTD beat him at Union Station in 2018. Well, the settlement was announced hours before Denver City Council voted against approving a multi-million dollar contract with Allied. The lawsuit and the community response were primary reasons that many city council members gave for rejecting the proposed $25 million contract with Allied. Well, back in July, I spoke with Jeff Campbell, who's the chair of the Justice for Rivero Committee.
Rivero is an artist in town, a very talented young man who was at a event honoring his artwork at Red Line Community Art Center on the night of the 28th when he left there on foot to catch a train home. He missed his train and decided to wait. And that's when four officers began to harass him. And then they finally told him, well, you can wait for your train back here. We'll show you where. So they lured him into a bathroom tucked away in the basement where there were no cameras and no one could see anything. And that is when the sergeant on duty physically assaulted him while the other three subordinate officers looked on as a lookout.
Rivero was not suspected of any crime. Of course, he didn't commit any crime. And really what makes this different from the endless cases we're seeing around police brutality is the fact that these are actually private security guards. Give us a sense of the specifics of this case and how it maybe differs from some of the other police brutality and police accountability cases we're seeing.
What's interesting about this case is RTD, you know, has made a statement that the actions of these security officers do not reflect the policies and ethics of RTD. And that's a very convenient statement for them to make because this is a contracted company with RTD. So they've outsourced their liability in the whole thing. So they're able to say that that's not who they are, but they're not speaking for the officers who committed the assault. It is Allied Security who is the contracted company in this. And so the liability lies on them. It's a tricky thing when you have the state or the city government outsourcing their liability so that they can wash their hands of it and say, well, it's not us. Well, that particular arrangement is really why we're having such a hard time getting a settlement and getting this resolved, holding the city and RTD accountable. And they've kind of diverted the responsibility over to Allied. So Allied Universal Security Services is the largest security company in the United States. And all over the United States, they have open cases of assault, brutality, and violence at the hands of their officers. And what we see in particular is that it is leadership or management or commanding officers on duty who are in fact recruiting and training their underlings, their subordinate officers, incriminating them, making them accomplices in these physical attacks. So this is a slippery slope, especially when the dialogue about abolishing the police and defunding the police. We don't want to create this sort of scenario where city government is then no longer able to be held accountable for what officers do. So that's why we're saying that it is not a matter of training these officers or retraining these officers. We're saying that this is their policy, and this is how this company gets down. And we need to terminate our relationship with companies like this.
That's Jeff Campbell speaking with me. Back in July, he's the chair of the Justice for Rivero Committee. Yesterday, Allied Universal and RTD settled the lawsuit brought by Rivero Stinnett. In that case, he was beaten by security guards employed by Allied, contracted to provide security at Union Station, and left with a traumatic brain injury. And the settlement was announced hours before Denver City Council voted against approving a multi-million-dollar contract with Allied. It's 8:26 and it's time now for the comment line.
Good morning. I was just hoping to put a little plug in for the BBT News. It's hard to get global news here in Boulder or anywhere in this country without, going online and trying to really search around for it. It's a news feature that's really counted on by a lot of people in the community here in the Front Range. And today's Wednesday, the 21st of October. And unfortunately, there's some bad music playing instead. So if you could kind of cue your DJs to make sure that BBC gets played from 6 to 7 a.m. for the people here in the Front Range, that would be fantastic.
There's a sign in Granby that says, "It's no longer 5 o'clock somewhere. It's 2020 everywhere." So drink whenever you want and get out the vote.
Please vote no on Boulder's ballot issue 2C, the XL Electric Utility Franchise Contract. This is in reference to the discussion last week of the no on 2C campaign. Many times, citizens have voted to force XL to change to efficient renewable energy and reduce its pollution from its coal and gas-burning electric power plants. It's time to confront XL again and vote no on 2C, XL's newest contract attempting to avoid regulation of its toxic emissions. New information has come in. Using Boulder City's own computer model and putting in new lower costs on wind and solar energy and new lower interest rates, Boulder can get 100% renewable energy, save $30 million per year, and prevent XL from releasing 215,000 tons of greenhouse gases per year. This is because new bids have come in from competitors of XL, offering lower rates on 100% renewable energy and financing, too. XL is very expensive. It builds large, expensive, unnecessary projects because their business model is based on spending a lot. XL gets paid 9% profit on what they spend as a regulated utility. So they've spent $1 billion on their Pueblo coal plant. They plan to spend $7 billion on new experimental nuclear power / hydrogen gas plants, unproven carbon capture plants, and new natural gas plants. The Colorado nuclear power plant cost $230 million to build and $283 million to convert to natural gas. Still 15 tons of nuclear waste there. A judge found XL responsible for $400 million in cost overruns for maintenance at XL's Monticello nuclear power plant. XL violates the law. It's paid $31 million in fines since 2000. XL was fined $2.7 million for environmental offenses. XL paid $80 million for round-trip energy trade violations. XL's values are different from Boulder citizens. XL gave $100,000 to Trump's 2016 inauguration. XL gave $27,000 to Senator Cory Gardner's campaign. XL has lobbied for continued use of coal and natural gas and against renewable energy. XL opposes competition, lobbying to limit rooftop and community solar, local microgrids, net metering, wind farms, and feed-in tariffs. It goes on. XL plans to burn coal, producing COD. Two, XL plans to use much more fracked natural gas. Fracking releases methane and greenhouse gas from drill sites and pipelines. Fracking produces benzene, causing cancer and birth defects, and leads to high ozone levels. XL lobbies against rules on fracking. XL citizens, Boulder citizens, oppose fracking, especially near homes, schools, and water supplies. XL's chairman, Ben Falk, is also chairman of Edison Electric Institute, the electric power lobby group, which opposed reductions in greenhouse gases, was sort of even denying climate change. XL paid no federal corporate tax from 2008 through 2015, despite making a profit of $10 billion over that time period. XL spends its money buying. Politicians spent $1.7 million lobbying in 2017 and has paid 218 lobbyists. XL gave $1.9 million from 2008 through 2018 to state politicians, governors, legislators, and state attorney generals. XL's lobbying group, Edison Electric Institute, gave $1.2 million to Republican funds. For more information, go to empowerourfuture.org, opensecrets.org, be our watch. ProPublica, follow the money and violation tracker.
Hi, this is Dan Winters in Boulder, and I was just thinking something out loud to myself and I'm wondering if it makes any sense that if Trump loses the election or not, it may not be a good thing for the Democrats. What do I mean by that? Well, if the Democrats retain the House, will have the Senate and the presidency, they will roll back literally thousands of rules and regulations that are onerous, that the Bush, Trump people passed. Well, what will the Republicans do? They will challenge in state courts and in federal court every single piece of progressive legislation that the Democrats want to pass. What will be the Democrats' solution to this? Well, one solution might be to pack the court, that is, to add more members to the court to overcome the 6-3, undoubtedly 6-3 Supreme Court. I think, will lead to a real constitutional crisis, maybe even going to the lengths of having militias out in the streets trying to get their own way. I don't know. Something you might want to think about.
And that is the comment line. The number to call is 303-447-9911.